right, we have Mark Lundy. Combined leaf and canopy reflectance measurements indicate crop utilization, nitrogen fertilization in real time, and predict response to top dress in spring wheat.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the introduction. I'm a cooperative extension specialist in the Department of Plant Sciences at University of California, Davis. I'm going to give you a real brief overview of wheat production in California, about 200,000 to 300,000 hectares grown annually. Most of that's fall sown, a little bit of it's spring sown up in the Intermountain region near the Oregon border. But predominantly fall sown. About half of that's grown for grain, and that's really what we're addressing here in this study I'm presenting. Our yields are about 6,000 kgs per hectare on average. Growers are paid both for quantity and quality as measured by protein. The protein targets vary by the region, mostly to do with water availability, both in terms of rainfall, quantity, distribution, and irrigation. Irrigation availability. So it tends to be more opportunistic in the Sacramento Valley where there's higher rainfall and more standard as you move further south and get less rainfall. Pertinent to this thing we're talking about today, nitrogen rates are typically split between pre-plant and sometime in season, usually at the tillering or jointing stage of growth, and pretty wide range of rates that reflects differential yield potentials and water availability. And in California, we have increasing regulatory environment for accounting for nitrogen use. So we've been, in that context, we've been trying to come up with information for growers and CCAs to optimize their nitrogen use, both in terms of quantity and timing. And the broader context of the study that I'm presenting is rate and timing studies that are showing similar results that we've seen. There is a pointer. There it is. Basically showing that for an equivalent amount of nitrogen applied pre-plant versus in-season, despite the fact that at tillering this particular plot looks very deficient, we're getting a higher overall yield and higher protein. And we see that in aggregate over multiple locations and years, where more you're putting on in-season, the less you're putting on pre-plant for an equivalent amount of nitrogen, you're going to get higher yields of protein. So on top of that, we're layering some proximal sensing devices as well as some soil nitrate quick tests. And that's kind of where, what brings us to the study I'm going to talk about now. Our goal is to see whether the simultaneous measurement of both the leaf and the canopy in combination with some proxy for soil nitrate can result in additive information about fertilizer use and protein yield under these varying fertilization schemes in terms of rate and timing. So to do that, we created a variable nitrogen availability environment, both in terms of the temporal availability and the absolute availability. We related these real-time plant and soil measurements to those variations and then saw how well they predicted the crop productivity outcomes, both on their own and in combination. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the agronomic methods because I wanted to get through some of the approaches that were taken quantitatively, but the brief summary is the study was conducted over 6 site years at 3 different locations in the Intermountain region, in the Sacramento Valley, and the San Joaquin Valley. We had distinct soil types, distinct precipitation totals and distributions, distinct cultivars, although they were all common wheat, hard red and white spring wheat genetically. The constants between the experiments were that we intentionally drew down the available soil nitrogen before all these studies by growing a C4 crop ahead of time that was unfertilized. So there was all very low available nitrogen environment. So that's important for some of the calibration work that you're going to see coming forward. The irrigation was, we were all irrigated, but because of the Sacramento Valley being more of a opportunistically irrigated environment, irrigation wasn't exactly consistent in terms of quantity or timing between the studies. And that may be some of the variation that we're picking up with the sensors that you'll see. But we had the same rate structure and timing structure, and we took the real-time measurements in consistent fashion across all the site years. The rate structure was very complicated, and in the interest of time, I'm just going to say that we had varying rates from 0 to 100% pre-plant and tillering, and then 0 to 50% at the transition stage, late boot, early heading, and 0 to 20% across five or six different totals. So there was this is a big rate study. But there was controls for all the different timings and rates within the other periods of time. So our measurements are all expressed relative to a site-specific maxima for the period of time in which they were measured. So for a tillering measurement of a Greenseeker NDVI, it's expressed as the maximum at that site on that day. So this would presuppose that you were going to be able to use a reference strip to be able to make this something applicable to a grower. As I just mentioned, the observations that are analyzed weren't confounded by the timing structure. Just briefly, the classification regression results are being conducted in random forest, which is handling unbalanced data sets and continuous variables better than some other approaches. And then we're using the NLME package with year nested in sight as a random effect, both for the linear plateau modeling that you'll see and the linear models. So let's jump to the results. So at tillering, looking at the random forest results, this graph is giving us an idea of the variation in protein yield, how much of that total variation is explained by these measurements themselves, and then the proportion of that variance is explained by the individual measurements. And so you see about 69% of the total variance in protein yield can be explained by the measurements that were taken at tillering, and that the roughly equivalent portions of variance are explained between the canopy sensor, the soil nitrate, and the leaf sensor. I should note, I forgot to say this when I was at the method slide, but the nitrate data that you're going to see right now is actually a KCL extraction. We haven't finished calibrating the soil nitrate test to the KCL extraction. So even though I'm showing a quick test, it's actually KCL extraction data that you're looking at. So if we use an additive linear model and put each of those factors that was in the classification regression into the model, we see that there's a fairly strong linear relationship with protein yield. But we run into a lot of limitations in terms of interpretation and application from just this additive linear model. So the approach that we're taking is to, for each of these timings and each of these tools, develop a saturation threshold. And so we do that with a linear plateau. And in this case, the example I'm showing you is the Greenseeker NDVI as a function of the pre-plant nitrogen applied, remembering that this is in a really low available soil nitrate background. And then we just find the threshold at which there's an objective method to say this is no longer higher than the overall field maxima. For the soil nitrate, we did that as a function of the protein yield. And we did the same thing with the leaf measurements at all the stages of growth. Okay, so then we take those thresholds and we apply it to the larger data set, and we put things in groups based on whether they're above or below the thresholds that we developed. So to take you through these graphs that I'm going to show you, I want you to understand that this low down here in this first bar, low, low, no, that first low refers to whether or not the canopy was high or low with respect to the threshold, if it was above the threshold or below the threshold. And then the second low is whether the leaf was above or below the threshold. And then the third no or yes is whether or not subsequent to that measurement there was a nitrogen top dress. Okay, and then this graph at tillering is showing the data that was below the soil nitrate threshold. And so the reason that we separate the low from the high is because we had a significant interaction, three-way interaction between the sensor measurements, the subsequent management action, and the soil nitrate measured at that time. So what we see is where we get low leaf and low canopy measurements, and we apply a top dress, unsurprisingly, we get a very large response. Where there's a low canopy measurement, but a high leaf under this low soil nitrogen environment, and we apply, we get no response. Where there's a high canopy measurement and a low leaf measurement at tillering, we get a response. And so we're starting to see at the tillering data that both the nitrate, and I'll show you why the nitrate in a second, but the canopy measurements and the leaf measurements are creating distinct information that are giving us more information in combination than if they were used in isolation. So then if we look at the high soil nitrate environment, we get no response to the top dress at tillering, and so therefore the sensor measurements are not giving us additional information. So we can take that then, and in this extreme example, we can go to our data set and our subsequent nitrogen top dress as our rate, and the protein yield result, and then we can start to develop a rate recommendation for that top dress application. So, stepping back to the overall view of the tillering, all of these measurements at tillering are giving us unique pieces of information that can help us determine whether or not a particular condition is going to create a response to a top dress nitrogen application. So, moving to the transition between the vegetative and the reproductive growth stage, this late boot early heading stage, and I intentionally have a kind of broad descriptor there because this was done at six different sites and with interactions with rainfall and all those other things. Everybody knows agronomic field work. This is not the exact day. This is like about a two-week window. So it's not always the exact stage of growth and all these measurements, but I don't think that really matters too much from looking at the data. But as we move into that stage of growth, we see that the soil nitrate information becomes less valuable as a proportion relative to the other measurements, and the proportion of the total variance explained in protein yield by these three measurements stays relatively constant. So the total soil nitrate importance decreases as we start to get more plant biomass to use as an assay for nitrogen availability in the soil. So jumping into that data, because that soil nitrate information is less explanatory for protein yield, we no longer see this three-way interaction between the sensor measurements, the management actions subsequent to that measurement, and the soil nitrate measurement. So again, in a very low environment, we get a response that's a little bit less interesting than these two graphs, where we have these two pairs, where we have low canopy and high leaf, and we apply, we get a response. Where we have high canopy and low leaf, we get a response. Those may be for different biophysical reasons, developmental reasons, but what's practically interesting and important in terms of the sensor management is that in this case, if you were just using the canopy meter, you would have missed this response. In this case, if you were just using the leaf meter, you would have missed this response. And that's much more likely to be the response region that you're going to see in a grower's field because we created this environment of extreme deficiency, and this is much more likely where you're going to be making recommendations. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into the flowering information. It's a little bit less interesting as well, but because of that stage of the game, you have less influence on the crop anyway. But the soil nitrate continues to become less important, and the canopy and leaf meters continue to increase in relative importance. And again, we continue to be able to explain about two-thirds to three-quarters of the variance in the protein yield using these in combination. So the summary of that is that the simultaneous measurements of a combination of soil nitrate and the canopy and leaf measurements can give us some indication of the likely response to the top dress, that the soil nitrate is of greater predictive value at tillering than later in the later stages of growth, late boot and flowering, and that these canopy and leaf sensors are producing additive information. As I've mentioned, these are high fertilizer use efficiency sites. We've created that environment, so we may have created a little bit stronger response than you might see under different conditions with more normal nitrogen availability, and we're working on validating this from independent data sets. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the funders of this, the California Wheat Commission, California Department of Fertilizer Research and Education, and a lot of individuals who contributed to collecting the data and getting this field work done. Take one question.
I have a question. Do you see this technique
Potentially. It was an accident that we started doing this in wheat. I think wheat's a little bit more plastic. There's less above ground biomass. I think that I think it'd be easier in wheat than it's going to be in corn. But I don't know how it would done in corn. But yeah, in general, I think the theory behind all of this is, even if it's not a perfect proxy, getting a proxy for the nitrogen pools at the different locations relative to the plant soil environment at different times, that's valuable. It's not. I don't think that we're going to see any particular measurement being a silver bullet. We have to figure out a way to take multiple measurements because the environments are always changing, and then figure out a way to tease those apart analytically. So that's kind of what I was focusing on here.